Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also, along with Megan Turnquist. U.S. Senate will be meeting again today for a possible vote on a more than $450 billion coronavirus aid package, which includes at least $300 billion to replenish the Paycheck Protection Program. Funds for the program ran out last week. According to Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer, there is a deal and lawmakers could vote on that package at 3 o'clock Central Time this afternoon. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley confirming something similar through C-SPAN, though Republican leaders haven't officially confirmed the deal yet. Schumer said the package includes more money for small businesses and hospitals.
As the coronavirus pandemic continues to influence U.S. agricultural commodities, the economy continues to be in shutdown mode. That is according to INTL FC Stone chief commodities economist Arlen Suderman.
And when you do that, you impact demand. It's impacted differently for different commodities, but the overall mentality of the funds was get out of their positions and then start sorting it all out. So it's been particularly bearish toward the commodity sector, believing that as the economy shut down, people stay at home, they consume fewer commodities and then start figuring out which ones they're still consuming. And that's kind of in the process we're in right now. We know that definitely energy is something not being consumed.
Suderman goes on to say the current events impacting the commodity markets is truly a black swan event.
Down the road, we will have a price to pay for this, and there's only limited options for dealing with this and unwinding all these the debt issues and the big balance sheet. And historically, that has tended to be inflationary, not for all commodities necessarily, but it does open the door for an inflationary phase. As we look forward, then what else we're facing? The black swan event. As Wikipedia describes a black swan theory or theory of black swan events as a metaphor that describes an event that comes as a surprise, has a major effect.
Cattle producers are slated to receive $5.1 billion of the $9.6 billion in USDA direct payments for the livestock industry. U.S. Cattlemen's Association senior policy analyst Jess Peterson says cattle producers are waiting on further details.
And there will be a rulemaking here in the next few weeks. Well, everything's weird on time frames, but here in the next week or two, the Department of Agriculture will propose rulemaking in which they'll outline the payment mechanism and the classification for payments and things of that nature. So that will be coming out here shortly. Look to Red River News and U.S. Cattlemen's Association and other groups will be talking about that. And so you will be eligible for some payments, and that's a good thing. But as of right now, the U.S. Cattlemen's Association think it falls short.
Further down the pipeline, the association hopes there will be some additional assistance for U.S. cattle producers. Peterson says coronavirus and its impacts are something of epic proportion. The cattle industry needs a true safety net for producers.
So they placed limits of $125,000 per commodity with an overall limit of $250,000. Now, to the folks that don't make their living in cattle production, that might seem like a lot of money. That's not, unfortunately. And so we need those price limits to be much, much higher. We wanted it, U.S. Cattlemen's Association wanted that cap to around 10,000 head, which would put up to $3 million. And those are the type of real dollars. We didn't cap the airlines. We didn't go in there and look at any other small businesses and say, well, you're getting a cap for where you're at.
And those payment limits are causing heartburn throughout farm country. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Vice President of Government Affairs, Ethan Lane, says agriculture will be taking that concern to Congress and the Trump administration.
This first offering here has a lot of features that we think are going to be good, but that's going to be a concerning piece for us, and we need to make sure we get that cap right to make sure that we don't leave out producers that really need to be helped from this program.
This assistance plan for cattle producers is still considered a moving target.
There are a lot more details sort of floating around out there, but I really caution people to not start going to the bank based on those details. This thing is not finished yet. There is a rulemaking process that has to be completed before they can put this out on the street. They're not expecting to accept applications until early May. with checks later in the month. So we're definitely moving forward. We have the outlines of a program here. We have some top line numbers, and that is progress. But we're still looking at some work ahead of us here.
According to a new analysis from the National Corn Growers Association, cash corn prices have declined 16% on average since March 1st as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The analysis also projects a $50 per acre revenue decline for the 2019 corn crop. Further analysis is underway for the 2020 crop year, with anticipated losses higher than in 2019. The analysis is conducted by the University of Illinois professor Gary Schnittke.
Lowen & Associates President Pete Lowen says the destruction of energy demand by coronavirus has impacted all of agriculture, especially corn.
35-40% of all we produce in corn usually turned into ethanol. And when gasoline demand's down so much, it's now crude's tanking. And there's just not as much demand in that side. And it's just a matter of how long that demand is down that's going to dictate potentially some big numbers from an ending stock standpoint.
Livestock production is also being impacted.
Animals that are market ready are still market ready. And the animals we're going to be market ready are getting closer all the time, but we're killing less than what the supply is out in the country. And that's theoretically, when you look at that from a supply and demand economic side, could be or should be pretty bearish to cash. By the same token, when that processor's killing so much fewer numbers, their available supply to the wholesale retail chains are down, so you see product trade go up a lot, and theoretically it should make cash go down. And futures markets are correlated to cash markets, not product markets.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Language replacing the Waters of the U.S. rule is now being published in the Federal Register. The Navigable Waters Protection Rule excludes streams that only contain water during or after a rainfall, most farm ditches, and converted cropland. Environmental groups are indicating they will file lawsuits to overturn the rule. That rule will go into effect June 22nd.
The Agricultural Retailers Association President and CEO Darren Kopic said the association is grateful the process of getting the updated WOTUS rule in the Federal Register is coming to a conclusion. Kopic said the new WOTUS definitions are realistic, practical, and science-based.
Well, over the past week, Minnesota farmers were able to spread fertilizer and begin planting in parts of the state. USDA's crop progress reports put barley at 2% seeded, oats at 10% done. 3% of the potatoes are in the ground. That is behind the 11% average. Sugar beet planting, 2% complete compared to 29% on average. Scattered wheat seeding and corn planting has also been reported in Minnesota.
The latest USDA crop progress report puts North Dakota corn harvest at 86% complete. That is up 3 percentage points from the previous week. Winter wheat condition rated at 78% good to excellent, with joining near the 5-year average at 3%. Most North Dakota farmers intend to begin field work within the next week to 10 days.
Spring wheat seeding in South Dakota, 9% complete. That is ahead of last year's pace, although it's still well behind the 5-year average of 40%. 11% of the oats crop is in the ground, ahead of the 2% last year, but behind the 37% average. Emergence is at 1%. South Dakota's winter wheat crop receives a rating of 69% good to excellent this past week from USDA.
The corn and soybean markets fell through support levels early today, opening up more downside action. Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops says those technicals combined with planting pressure is forcing the grains lower.
The funds are short corn and driving prices lower, especially with the poor technical action. But it's surprising to me that the funds are holding such a big net long position in soybeans while technical trend is clearly down for soybeans. The funds have been buying this market, and they're long about 96,000 contracts outright soybeans. That market, I think, is in some serious jeopardy if they continue to liquidate and go net short.
Hoops expects additional pressure as traders try to cover margin calls.
Margin call selling's hitting a lot of these markets. A lot of orders just getting out of positions. Even the wheat market, which has some positive news, seeing the brunt of some selling pressure from corn and soybeans. And as you said, margin calls is a big part of that. Traders trying to get positions smaller and manage their accounts more effectively with the drop in the grain markets.
Minnesota lawmakers are in their last month of session. Representative Paul Anderson says the economy is slowing down, tax collections are expected to be less than normal, and it's likely the budget surplus is gone, and Minnesota could be looking at a budget deficit.
We've spent over $500 million so far on efforts to combat the COVID-19 situation, and we've been meeting by long distance. They have just a few folks in the Capitol chambers, in the House chambers, and the rest of us who live further out from St. Paul are doing it by computer and telephone. We can vote actually from home. They have a system rigged up, and that's what I've done the last three or four sessions.
Anderson says the Section 179 tax conformity remains unknown.
It was the top priority, and then things kind of got derailed by the COVID-19 situation. And as I mentioned, we went from having a pretty large surplus to a probable deficit. And for Minnesota to fully conform with Section 179 up to $1 million of depreciation, it was going to cost well over $200 million. And I'm just not sure that we have that kind of money left that we can do that. There were a couple other bills passed that really took the sting out of it. It allowed enough depreciation to offset the income we have to declare with the like-kind exchanges.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. There is a USDA Farm Bill program that aims to resolve conservation issues on a regional level. Natural Resources Conservation Service Chief Matt Lohr explains.
We invest money, but this money is matched by hundreds of partners all across the country that are really targeting water quality issues, drought issues, dampening soil health, supporting wildlife habitat. There's a whole host of topics that partners can apply, and they put conservation on the ground, matching our dollars, and again, covering a large area, which makes it cool. But really, it's one of my favorite Farm Bill programs because of the partnership aspect and how the money gets matched.
Lohr describes some of the projects and partnerships among the recent recipients of Regional Conservation Partnership Program Awards.
The Nature Conservancy is actually partnering with Cargill and McDonald's in Nebraska to help producers implement soil health practices on about 100,000 acres while looking at storing carbon and preventing soil erosion. So that's kind of a snapshot of what one project looks like. Another one, North Carolina Department of Agriculture, they're looking to preserve 5,000 acres of farmland to help control flooding and reduce soil erosion in the Cape Fear River Basin. So the thing about these projects is that they're very unique, they're different.
According to the USDA National Ag Statistics Service, cattle and calf conditions rated 78% good to excellent, 4% poor to very poor. Calving in the state is 56% complete, behind the 62% last year, with death loss rate of 64% average and 2% heavy. Hay and roughage supplies coming in at 75% adequate to surplus and 25% short to very short. Checking markets before we leave you this morning, or this afternoon rather. May wheat Minneapolis currently trading down 5.25 at 505.5. July down 5 at 518. Chicago May wheat's down 1.75 at 547. And Kansas City May wheat's now 0.5 higher at 495.75. May corn down 3 at 311.25. December corn's down 3.75 at 333.25. May beans 4 cents higher at 830.5. November 2.25 higher at 848. Canola's down $1 a metric ton. May lean hogs still trading $3.75 higher at 44.35. This is the Red River Farm Network.